Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. No one likes to fail. And even further than that, no one likes to admit when they fail. Though we could look at the example that we get from baseball, and that a major leaguer, if he fails batting 70% of the time, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Well, the reality is that each one of us fails, some more than others. But each one of us fails at many different things in our life. St. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, all have fallen, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. All means all. Well, today is the third Sunday in the season of Lent. And as we begin this fourth week now of inwardly looking, fasting, of penitence, and of prayer in preparation for the great resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on Easter morning, as we prepare for this, as we continue this Lenten journey, how are you doing? Really? How are you doing in this Lenten journey? Many people choose to acknowledge the season of Lent with fasting in a particular way, such as denying myself of a simple pleasure in order to focus greater on the Lord, giving up something that's difficult, but it always draws myself nearer to God. That's the point. Giving up alcohol or coffee or chocolate or fried foods or whatever the case may be. I remember one year our niece said that she was going to give up blue Doritos for Lent. You know, that there are others who give up something a bit more, less physical and more personal, like giving up saying curse words. Or one of my favorites that I've heard over the years, giving up being judgmental. Now, some of us are certainly more effective than others at giving up. But how are you doing? The reality is that every one of us experiences failure in our giving up. But that's the point. That's the point. Because we cannot do it on our own. We need to rely on what we have been given through Jesus Christ. After the people of Israel were led out of 400 years of slavery and oppression in Egypt by God, they eventually made it to Mount Sinai, a very sacred mountain for the Lord and for all the people of Israel. And on the third day, when they were camped there, God called Moses to come up to the top of the mountain and to stay with him for 40 days and 40 nights. Clearly, the Lord had some plans for his chosen people in some incredible foreshadowing of Jesus, the Messiah. On the top of that mountain, the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Not only that, he gave many other laws, regulations, observances, and instructions, all for very particular purposes, namely for worshiping God, for being obedient to God, for trusting God, for honoring God, and for being in right relationship with God and with other people. Ultimately, these are the reasons for all of the laws and commandments. But even though the Lord gave these outstanding relational fixtures, the people continued to fail. Over and over again, they failed. In fact, while Moses was up there on the mountain for those 40 days and 40 nights, the people were already breaking the first commandment. Now, they haven't received it yet, but they were already breaking the first commandment. They were forging together a golden calf in order that they could worship, because they thought Moses and God had abandoned them, and they had to worship something. They were already breaking that first commandment. In case we ever wonder, friends, if the Lord does in fact love his people and have our best interests in mind, we can always look at the examples of Scripture to show that he is, that he does have our best interests in mind. We don't always have our own best interests in mind. We might think we do. It was best for Moses to be gone for those 40 days and nights, receiving the commandments. Ultimately, it was best for the people to have to experience that loneliness for 40 days as well. And have started to even create on their own. Because it reveals the need. It reveals the need that they have, reveals the need that we have for a Savior, for the Lord to provide. God gave the commandments, the laws, and the observations to Moses for the good of all the people. Not for his own domineering fashions, but for the good of the people. Though they were never meant to be the salvation of the people. God was always the salvation of his people. And he gave the commandments, the laws, and the observances to us for good reason. And that was his plan the whole time. The whole time. In the garden, God gave one command. God gave one command in the garden. He said, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat of it. And if you do, you will surely die." One command given, one command broken. This is the way it happened. This is the way that it had to happen. From the beginning of humanity, our sinful nature needed to be exposed. This is the purpose of the law. To reveal our deficiencies, to expose our sins. Thus, the law then reveals our absolute need for a Savior. Again, we are moving closer and closer to that great feast of the resurrection, Easter morning, when we celebrate Jesus' victory over sin and death. But in order for us to truly be able to celebrate that victory, we have to know what the victory is over. And the victory has to be over something in our own lives, doesn't it? The victory is over our sin. The victory is over death. So if we don't have the law to reveal our sin, our sinful nature, the fact that there is death in the world, then there is nothing to celebrate. There is no victory to celebrate. We need our sins exposed. This is why we observe Lent, in preparation of our hearts, of our minds, and of our souls to be ready to acknowledge that Jesus actually accomplished in the great resurrection of the dead was true. That what he accomplished was absolutely true. And of great emphasis in that acknowledgement is that I have failed. I have failed. My flesh, my humanity is weak. As much as I don't want to believe it, as much as I don't want to acknowledge it, I am a weak individual. And on my own, I cannot accomplish even the intent of the law. The law and the commandments act as a mirror. A mirror in which I can truly see my real self and see that I need God to intervene on my behalf, to save me. We are broken. The world is broken. I am a failure. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? In St. Paul's great confession in Romans chapter 7, we see the law doing its job. And even greater than that, we see Jesus doing his job. Paul writes what is at the bottom of every human heart. I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want to do. But I do the very thing that I hate. I have the desire to do what is right. I have the desire, but I do not have the ability to carry it out. He says that this is the result of his own sin that has been exposed by the law, bringing death into the world. And now all of the law is completely fulfilled through Jesus. Though we can acknowledge that the law, apart from its fulfillment in Jesus, is absolutely punishing. The law, apart from Jesus, is condemning. The law, apart from Jesus, is harsh and shameful and rigid because it is impossible for us to keep the law. We cannot do it. We cannot keep the commandments of God on our own. It has always been that way, and it always will be that way. When we try to keep the law on our own, all we do is lower the bar of expectations. We lower the bar of expectations, and we believe the lie from the serpent when he said, "Surely you will not die." We turn our back on the creator of the world, we ignore his goodness, and try to keep up the appearances of godliness. I want to think that I can keep God's commandments on my own. I want to think that. I can't. I want to think that I can keep them because I don't like to fail. I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to acknowledge that I have failed. My own pride is what keeps me from the goodness of the Lord. So then, perhaps failure is a good thing this Lent. Perhaps failure is a good thing. Because we know that when we fail, when we acknowledge that we fail, the law is doing what it's supposed to do. By revealing our sins, our disobedience, and ultimately that every single one of us has the absolute need for a Savior. Without Jesus, we try to keep the law by lowering our expectations to fit our own agendas. It's the reason that Jesus had to enter the temple and overthrow the money changers and the livestock sellers. Because they had lowered the expectations of the law so much that by the letter of the law, they really weren't breaking any of the commandments. But Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. He is the expectation of the law. And the bar is raised to the point where it needs to be. He is the one who brings us to the humble point of acknowledging that I truly cannot keep the commandments. I cannot keep the law on my own. I need my sins to be revealed so that I can ask for God's forgiveness, so that I can repent, and so that I can accept the grace that is offered by the Lord. In Jesus Christ, there is no shame, no condemnation, and there is no lowering of the expectations. So who will deliver me from this body of death, wretched man that I am? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came into the world to bring redemption through his blood, we, brothers and sisters, are made right by the glorious sacrifice of the only one who could have ever brought such forgiveness. In Jesus Christ alone, our sins are truly exposed and truly forgiven. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I,